Welcome back into the Level Up Experience. This is episode number 45. This was a previously recorded live stream with Mario Prosperino and Dante Simpson, co-founders at eSpat. We'll be diving into the ethos behind eSpat, value they're looking to bring to the eSports creative community, the significance of the B2B platform eSpat.ai, their company vision for 2021, and we answer live questions from the stream. Here's a quick word from GG Locators, then a discussion with Dante Simpson and Mario Prosperino, co-founders at eSpat.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nicole Minka, and I'm the managing director of GG Locators. If you're not familiar with GG Locators, we are a company that focuses on staffing in the gaming, AR, VR, and eSports space all across the United States. We are looking for VFX artists across the board. So if you're in Austin, LA, San Francisco, Boston, or Seattle, we'd love to talk to you a little bit about some of our clients that we're working with. Right now, there is a more junior role available in Seattle that is full-time, but they will require someone to relocate to Seattle once possible. So if you're looking for something stable and full-time and on-site in Seattle, and you have at least 2 to 3 years in a VFX capacity working for a game studio or comparable experience, we'd love to talk to you a little bit more about it. If you're more senior and you want to learn about some of our AAA studios that we've partnered with or some of the AR/VR companies that are doing some really cool things, then shoot a note to info@gglocators.com and we'd be happy to tell you more about it.
I've got Mario and Dante, co-founders of eSpat. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
What's doing, Chris? We're live.
We are live. We are live on YouTube. We are live on LinkedIn and on Twitter. Thanks for being here, y'all.
Yeah, no pressure. I mean, I don't even think Leno and Letterman went live, so this is a step up for us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Yeah, no worries. So, a couple things to start out. If you're watching live on LinkedIn or on YouTube, make sure to destroy the like button. That's the first thing that we always ask. So other people can find the stream. Thank you all for doing that. Type in where you're coming from. I'd like to see what location you guys are in right now. Where are you guys located?
I am coming from not so sunny New Jersey right now. So I'm in the Garden State, Jersey life.
Yeah, and I'm outside of New York City in the burbs, about 45 minutes from Midtown.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, and I'm outside Louisville, Kentucky. So, all right. Got some people popping in here. Remember, hit that like button, jump in the comments. As always, we will be answering comments and questions throughout, so make sure to do that. I'd love to get as much feedback from everybody as possible. So to start out, we typically give guests the time to talk about themselves, about a minute, minute and a half, give a quick background and some context, and then we'll dive in. So we'll start with Mario.
Super, yeah. So our third partner is in the lab doing what he does best. That's Ed Brooks. So Ed basically had the idea of eSpat, and eSpat stands for eSports Pixels and Technology. So at the root, our company will be very tech-based, introducing different products and services around technology. So the way that content has been consumed is obviously much different than it was pre-social and pre-tech. So we really do want to give a big, big, you know, kudos to Ed. And basically thought of the idea of eSpat, comes from a design agency background. Ed used to work at the National Football League back in the early 2000s. I was running the NFL partnership for Getty Images. So we kind of had a history back then. We honestly didn't really kind of connect for about 10 years. Then he kind of sought me out in 2017, early 2018. And he said, hey, I want to start an eSports multimedia company, and you're the right guy. So I come from Getty Associated Press, 22 years around digital media, content licensing, custom content, intellectual property, working with Fortune 500 brands, sports leagues, agencies. So I've been around this, and I saw an opportunity with Ed to say, hey, who's doing this for eSports, right? This ecosystem of publishers, leagues, TOs, players, where is the centralized hub when you talk about digital media? And it's not just photos, Chris. It's basically everything from user-generated content to video to music to stills. What's the centralized hub? And as we were fishing around, it didn't exist, right? So we saw this global footprint. Esports and gaming, as we know, is truly the only sports an entertainment property that's global and basically 365, right? The World Cup is global, but it's, you know, every 4 years. The Olympics is every 2 years for 3 weeks. So we just saw this really huge opportunity to solve a problem. At that point, I said, hey, this is going to be a band. Let's make it a three-man band. And the best guy I knew to bring along was Dante. So Dante and I had a history at the Associated Press working around college football, college basketball, some entertainment properties as well. And that's basically how the three-man band was created by the time we were in May of 2018. So with that said, I'll let Dante kind of chime in and give you some background and some perspective on his background.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mario. I came the untraditional route here. So I'm also a 20-plus year guy coming from brick and mortar. So I started out, kind of got my claim to fame in fashion back during the time of Tom Ford when he was with Gucci. So it's always good to see Gucci kind of stepping into this esports space now. It's actually kind of cool seeing what they're doing with Fnatic and, you know, seeing what they're doing with some different titles. I would have never imagined it back then that you'd see, you know, Louis Vuitton and Gucci's kind of stepping into this space, but it's kind of cool that they are, and I'm really excited about it. So worked there. I've always been a biz dev guy, kind of a brand build guy. That's kind of my specialty. Worked with Gucci, had a chance to come back to the States, went directly into music. So I had this really cool Rolodex of people between fashion and music, entertainment, Hollywood. I always say that I don't know if I was one of the cool kids, but I was definitely at the table with them. You know what I mean? So they invited me to the table. I got a pass. So you know, during that time, I went to Arista. And in 2004, Sony and BMG merged. That's what brought me up to the tri-state, came up to New York. I was an exec with Sony BMG and had an opportunity to kind of take this really cool Rolodex of people, a lot of celebs, a lot of athletes, so on and so forth, and kind of start my own imprint. Started my own agency here in New York, mid-sized agency. And back in like 2009, 2010, I got a call from this guy named Dale Petrowski. He was the former president of Major League Baseball Hall of Fame and Mary McKay. They gave me a call and they were like, hey, we've got these two gamers. One guy's name is Mike. They call him Hastro. And they're like, there's this other guy. His name's Hector. They call him Optic Hex. And, you know, they're looking to start this thing called Eon. And you know, we kind of want you to be the, you know, kind of the head of that. And those guys were CEOs of, and I kind of came in as pres and kind of built strategy direction for Eon Interactive back in like 2010, 2011. It was a cool run with those guys. I did not know anything about gaming, but I knew business. They taught me so much. So it's cool coming back to this space and seeing folks like Nate Shot and where they are now and where they were back then when they were, you know, 16 years old. It's just kind of interesting seeing, you know, where these guys are. So had a chance to step into gaming, stepped out, but I stepped out with some really good knowledge. So when I got the call from Mario, I was like, let's do it. I was like, this is a great time. It's a great time to come in. We kind of laughed. And we were like, hey, it was the wild, wild west back then. But now, you know, you've got folks coming in from all your major sports and actually wrangling this in, and it's a great time to step in, and here we are.
Yeah, I want to dive a little bit deeper on, you know, what's happened over the past 2 years and kind of give a snapshot, if you will, whoever would like to take that first, of what Eastpat has done, kind of where you started in 2018 and where you guys are at now.
Yeah, so the first step for us really, Chris, was embedding ourselves with the creative community, right? So it was kind of an easy task. The power of Twitter, the power of Instagram, just looking at hashtags and seeing who are these rock star creatives around the world with video cameras and photographers and editors. So, you know, quickly but surely, we kind of curated some of the biggest names in esports and gaming photography and videography around the world, and just basically introduced ourselves as this, you know, new kid on the block, this platform that's going to launch soon. And not to say, hey, you know, this is a marriage, but, you know, because these are freelancers, we just wanted to see if our platform would add any benefits to them. And we think it has. So basically, you know, within about 6 weeks, we decided to put this dream team together of freelancers that in theory could shoot for Eastpat. Our first event was late July of 2018, the Overwatch League Finals. I mean, I remember Dante working his magic and getting in touch with Blizzard. I said, Dante, if we don't get credentials, we don't have a business model. You have to get us credentials. Have you guys shot an event? No, we haven't. Do you have any tear sheets of pickup? No, we don't. So it was a total like kind of aha moment where it's like we're in the building and what have you. So yes, we got credentials for Overwatch finals. You know, we went in there, we a couple of days, big time event. And then the next morning, it was Sunday morning, and we saw our pickup on ESPN.com, and as well as maybe Forbes and a couple other outlets, Bleach Report as well. So, you know, we were 6 weeks old. We were just getting started to see us get picked up. But for us, going back to the creative community, Chris, it was very vital for us to, if we're going to say we're the dedicated platform to esports and gaming, we did want to go out and start working with the professionals who are in the bloodstream or have been in the bloodstream of this industry. So, you know, we don't go out and try to look for the best golf photographer, the best tennis photographer, or the best entertainment photographer. Really, it's the guys and gals that know the score. They know the PR people. They know the TOs. But for them, a lot of them were not getting picked up by publications. Some of them, you know, really weren't traveling the world. They were kind of covering events in their backyard. And then for us, you know, moving forward by August, kind of our big kind of aha moment on the commercial side was getting commissioned by MasterCard around their launch or their sponsorship around Riot Games and League of Legends. So we were probably 2 months old, no case studies. We kind of had this idea. We said, hey, trust us. We'll put together a great crew. We'll go out to Asia and create all of your assets for digital and social media. And yeah, we've been 2 years, you know, been fortunate enough to work with MasterCard and their agencies. And that was one event where, like, the joy of seeing somebody from the creative community really boasting about, hey, I was selected by ESPAC to shoot for MasterCard and I'm going to Worlds, right? Like that for us was kind of like, man, that's a 360. That's like awesome. That's like we're changing people's lives. We're seeing photographers' mothers, you know, commenting on great job, keep up the work. You know, a lot of these guys and gals probably had to convince their parents that they can make this a career, right? This is not a sport that's been around for 20, 30, 40 years, and traditional sports like Dante and I have been around. So we kind of want to do our part. We're very humble. We're very inclusive. We're kind of laid back. We're just three individuals who want to make a difference, really.
So it's more like connective tissue, is the way I've seen it, bringing people.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. And listen, the power of stills and the power of content goes without saying, right? I mean, like, it's so powerful that when we get that Booga photo winning the Fortnite World Cup, that everybody wants to be attached to it, right? And going back to my earlier point about having a crew that know how to do their job, it does make a difference. You know, these are professionals who basically would admit that they're not the best golf photographers or they have no interest in golf or motorsports. But when you put them in the pit at an esport event, they just know the angles. They just know what they're doing, and it reflects on our platform.
Yeah, I think people, maybe someone outside the space is like, well, a picture's a picture. Well, no, it's not. There's so many variables that, you know, that go into that. So I found that interesting.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I'll add to that, Chris, and I'm going to first respond to what you just said. You absolutely nailed it. We've seen other folks utilize photos, and I'm plagiarizing Mario. I do this all the time, so I have to give him credit before I say it. You know, it's equivalent to, you know, somebody being in Boston and then being at a Red Sox event and then going across town and trying to shoot, you know, Call of Duty. The photos aren't the same. It doesn't look the same. You can tell there's photography and then there's esports photography, and it's its own category. And when folks don't recognize that, they don't understand that a picture is not a picture when it comes to gaming and esports. There's definitely a difference. And we pride ourselves on saying, hey, you can go to esbat.ai, shameless plug, and take a look at our photos. And, you know, you can kind of see, you know, photos and the differences of between, you know, your traditional sports. And, you know, kind of pulling back the curtain on some of our greatest joys, and Mario mentioned it, you know, we've heard from guys that are like, wow, I've never been in major publication. It's holy crap, I'm in ESPN. Holy crap, I'm in Forbes. And they don't know, but, you know, behind the curtains for all those guys that are watching and will watch this, we are equally as excited about that. You know what I mean? You know, we're excited for you. We're excited for what we're building. It solidifies what we're doing, you know, and qualifies and so on and so forth. So we are excited. As excited for our guys and gals as they are when they contact us. And, you know, we have the straight face like we knew we were going to do it, but, you know, we're as excited for the crew.
You made a great point. We talk about this a lot on the stream and in different business verticals. It really doesn't matter. Someone needs a platform to be found.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about this a lot. And it just, because if no one knows who you are, no one will know how talented you are or how talented or how high level your work is until someone sees it. So, I mean, that's how I see it, you know, looking at what you guys have built and you talked about. I do want to touch base real quick on what eSpat.ai is and then how that plays out over the next, you know, 6, 12, 18 months, given that platform.
Okay, sure. I'll dive in and then I'll hand it off to you, Mario. Mm-hmm. There's three segments of what eSpat.ai is today. You've got your editorial, you've got your commercial, and you've got your custom work. I'm actually going to start with the custom work. We are firm believers that no one can tell a esports story or a gaming story like gamers can, or those who come from, you know, the industry. So we've witnessed a lot of people come from the outside and try to bring their crews with them, and it just, the story doesn't translate. You know, one of the funniest things that I've seen in quite some time was Astralis, I believe, with Doc, and how they kind of made it very, with Dr. Disrespect, and the comedy that was associated with that. You could tell that there were gamers behind that content. That wasn't an outside agency creating that. They got the personalities right. The jokes were on point. Everything about that was just brilliant. We love that. I've literally watched that about 20 times.
Nuances.
The nuances, exactly. Understanding, hey, you never went up north. Like, understanding what that means, you know what I mean? And so we always say that, you know, we surround ourselves with excellent storytellers, and our custom work is something that we're so proud of. And as Mario mentioned, you know, we work with MasterCard and we work with many others, and what we've created for them, designed for them, that is truly, you know, authentic to gaming. And that's what we pride ourselves on the custom side, is the ability to create anything short, long, from a custom perspective that's authentic to gaming, that gamers can look at and say, oh, that's awesome. Versus, oh, that's just a piece of crap. Like, that's just somebody that came in to get a check. So we pride ourselves on that, you know, authentic look and feel. The editorial side of business as it stands today, that's where we do a lot of our B2B work. That's the home of, you know, the different editorials that we're mentioning to you domestically and internationally, that come to us and say, hey, we're looking for this photo. And a lot of people say, hey, what's the difference between what you're doing and what others are doing, or so on and so forth. One of the beauties of this, and this has happened, we'll receive a call from a major publication, and they'll say, hey, you know, we're writing a feature story this week on TwitchCon, for example. You know, we'd love to have this shot. We're nimble enough that we can just add it to our shot list and make sure that they get what they're looking for. It hasn't happened often, but we do have that ability that if you come to us even before and tell us that you're looking to do, you know, major editorial around, you know, a specific event or expo, and you're looking to utilize our image, we would actually customize some elements of that for you. So we're not just kind of giving you, you know, the buffet of what we determine is great. We are willing to listen along the way. So that's the editorial side. The commercial side, which we are actually launching as well, is relationships between what we're doing with eSpat, and publishers, and making some of those images ready and available on a commercial level. And on the commercial note, as well as just a recap of all of this, I will turn it over to my friend Mario. Mario, what did I leave out?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we kind of were born through this pandemic, Chris. So like everybody in the industry around the world, we had a pivot as well, right? So, you know, if you're a local pizza place, you don't have a dining room, you're not doing dining, you still have to sell pizza, right? So, you know, I know some local places, they were like producing like, you know, self-made kits. So your little teenager could go home and make a pizza, right? So, you know, we knowing that we wanted to be an inclusive platform, right? It didn't make sense for us to come into the market and just be kind of like a run-of-the-mill B2B platform where, you know, a 16-year-old blogger could not afford us. That's the total opposite of eSpat.ai. You know, there's 600 million bloggers around the world. How many of those actually have never written an esports story, or have, but just don't have the ability to create content because they don't have the visuals, right? So, you know, I kind of equate it to, you know, if my son comes up to me and says, Dad, you know, I want a subscription to Spotify, and he tells me it's, you know, $60 a month, I'm not going to do it, right? If he tells me it's, you know, $10 a month, it's well in the budget, right? So now music is now inspiring him, and he has access to music. just like he may want access to Netflix or he may want access to Xbox Live. So, you know, using that that example, our platform moving forward, there's going to be very, very minimal barriers of entry, whether you are that 16-year-old blogger and you want to be the next Jacob Wolpe of ESPN.com, or whether you're your traditional Forbes magazine or CNN doing a story about Booga winning the Fortnite World Cup. So being an inclusive platform is very important. We are in high-level discussions with third-party rights holders, whether they are TOs, publishers, leagues, or teams. You know, the ones we have spoken to, they do see the value in taking their assets and making it available to worldwide media or to bloggers or to fans. Every time a photograph gets picked up, there's obviously sponsors attached in that pictures. There's a likeness, there's marks, there's logos. So they see the value of taking their assets offline, whether it's Flickr or SmugMug, and having it sit on a 24/7 engine like Eastbat.
And then on that, so you mentioned COVID. Obviously, the last 6 months has changed the landscape of so many industries and so many different verticals. What has been some pivots? How have you all adapted to this kind of new environment? Because I'm sure that there's listeners that would love to know that. And then I'd love to know as well just kind of how you all have looked at the landscape, how it's changed, and then how you've adapted.
I think that part of that comes with growth in general. So how do we change? You take a look and, you know, ESPN's doing a great job with SportsCenter, right? But Venn wasn't there pre-COVID. Venn's coming. Venn's going to be looking for an opportunity to leverage images. Hey, Ariel, give us a call, Ariel. So, you know, we've been in conversation with those folks, and they're wonderful folks over there. And, you know, just taking a look at growth of market, a lot of times it's not a pivot, it's being prepared. So, you know, there's the mantra, hey, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. You know, articles didn't go away. Editorials didn't go away. It's simply a growth opportunity. Where are images available? Where are there podcasts that weren't there yesterday or partnerships that weren't there yesterday? Every day or two, we see a new brand stepping in. Those brands are going to be looking for assets. Well, here we are. So we feel as though we were positioned even pre-COVID in prep for this influx of, and you can fill in the blank, whether it's influx of content, whether it's influx of partners and brands, whatever that influx of is, we were actually prepared for that walking into COVID. So as a lot of brands looked to pivot, we were basically looking to partner because we had an asset that was.
You built, sorry not to interrupt. You had infrastructure in place and it moved into you essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. The thing that changed for us is no live events. You know what I mean? So, you know, hey, you know, obviously a huge part of our business is being boots on ground. There's no live events. So what are you guys doing when there's no live events? That is a pivot for us to identify, okay, there's some new partnerships out there that we can make that align with the future of where this is going. You know, we're taking a look at, and, you know, I almost don't want to say this, but I have to for the folks that are watching. We're taking a look at in-game photos. You know, what does that look like? People are starting to talk about, hey, is there some conversations to be had with Twitch? You know what I mean? To actually monetize static and still images within the context of. Those are examples of what the future of this could potentially look like. But you know, again, a lot of this does not go away. So we are prepared for the influx and the growth of the Twitches of the, or excuse me, of the Venns of the world. And there's more that are coming in. Obviously, you take a look at, you know, what Netflix just did with High Score. You know, and you know, where was their opportunity to put Eastbat assets into that type of deliverable? So we're taking a look at that side of business as well. So it's a pivot to a recognition of where this is going, and staying true to where this has been, and just being prepared for those opportunities as they present themselves.
Yeah, it's something that stood out. You talk about, you know, live events going away and then everything going digital, the virtual environments, Travis Scott concert in Fortnite, and on and on. So I'm heavily involved. I mean, for those that follow the stream that know this, obviously heavily involved in the virtual environment space, creating convention halls, meetups, organizations doing team meetings, you know, within a 3D environment. So we're a company doing that. So, and what, like watch parties, building experiences virtually, you know, and I love it. It's just fascinating because it's you know, it's the conversations are typically had with early adopters that get it early, right? But that's been accelerated to even closer to the main, maybe more mainstream conversations because they have to. Because like you mentioned, they have to.
Yeah, they have to. You're absolutely right.
And that's all. They don't have a choice. Like they have to at least explore it and see what's a good fit. You know, based on what they do.
Well, mixed reality, you know, is opening up such a strong door, and you know that's part of our custom work as well. That fits direct. I mean, like you said, it's literally a need. It's where opportunity meets need. And right now we're in a need based environment. What are we going to do? You know, and how can we optimize mixed reality to kind of speak to, you know, some spaces? There's some folks that are in the merch space right now, that are in the apparel space right now, that are talking mixed reality. How can we leverage that to actually assist in the merch category? There's a lot out there from an opportunity perspective in the worlds that you speak. Obviously, you know, I was riveted by Travis. And Fortnite. I thought that was absolutely amazing. I can't wait to see who's next. I'm over here dancing like, hey, who's next? You know, who's the next guy up? Marshmallow was great. You guys stepped it up with Travis. Who's the next guy or gal up? This is going to be great to watch. But you're right. Mixed reality is such an opportunity to step in and, you know, the custom and production work that sits around that.
Yeah. And then for me, Chris, you know, luckily I have, you know, three kids and, you know, an older son, 14. My younger guy is he's almost 8. And my 14-year-old literally was grinding all night last night, probably went to bed at 3, got up early for the new Fortnite season, right? Many of his friends probably couldn't tell you, like, what Mike Trout looks like, you know, of the Anaheim Angels, right, or the LA Angels. And I even equated to, like, when the NFL was very strategic on the licensing side to license the logos and marks of 32 clubs to Epic Games, right? So my son, my little guy, he was 7, saying, Dad, look at the Lions. He doesn't know the Lions because he watches the NFL Network. He knew the Lions or the Patriots because of Fortnite. And that was just fascinating. That was just eye-opening to me because, you know, I'm an early 80s kid, and I was just, you know, fixated with NFL films, with ESPN, with, you know, and I'm like, now these kids actually identify, you know, an NFL player not because of the game they watch, because of Madden, you know, and it's literally reverse. And it's just so powerful and fascinating of these games, but even games like Roblox and Minecraft, when my little guy is playing, I don't even know if he watches TV. He's watching this guy now, Flamingo. He's a YouTuber apparently, but this kid is just fascinating for him and he wants his merch. So you can't run away from it. It's the life and the world we live in, and either you embrace it or it's going to pass you by.
You mentioned Madden. So Pavin Lacat, he won $100,000 in 2019 at 18 years old. He won the Madden Club Championship, and he was on my show about 4 or 5 months ago. And to have the conversation with him, right, about what he did, what he accomplished, it was really cool. But just came out, he actually tweeted a couple of days ago. It's actually interesting that you mentioned Madden. A couple of days ago, you mentioned how the NFL, the actual teams, are really starting to adopt Madden. Finally, in my opinion, why has it taken this long for them to adopt like the content that's being created by these Madden pros? Like it should have been, and that's how I see it. I mean, that should have been lock and key years ago. But even that relationship that made sense, it didn't happen up until really until now. So like the teams are really looking at these Madden players and aligning themselves with them. So Pavin's he's a huge Raiders fan. So he works with the Raiders now. Like on Instagram, they retweet him, they like him, they do. So this is really, I mean, it's starting to garner momentum if you're really closely watching. But I think in a more broader sense, you're going to see it have a lot more momentum over the next few months. But yeah, he even tweeted that out a couple of days ago. I mean, they are really going for those Madden players. But the reason I brought that up is you see those two worlds colliding, and you're seeing decision makers finally saying, okay, let's do this.
Chris, if you've been watching the NBA playoffs, you see that they literally have a gamer view. Like it's almost like a 2K view. That floor vision is something that you haven't seen before. And they're actually embracing the fact that they may have a gamer audience here and they actually want to appeal and attract to them. They're literally showing the live NBA games from a gamer view perspective. And I found that to be very cool, like life in the bubble and how it transitioned and what's new. And, you know, that just I was definitely riveted by that. I was like, wow. If you're used to, you know, like a 2K or something, this is the view. Like they've completely shifted a view to give you your own cam, and it's your floor level cam. And that's I found that to be pretty intriguing. And again, the way that you mentioned, why not embrace our audience? You know what I mean? You want our eyeballs. Trust me. You want our eyeballs. So it's very cool that they're doing that. I find that impressive.
Go ahead.
No, so you got to love it when a player finds out he's a 97 instead of a 99 as well. And that has some traction on Twitter as well. So, yeah, I mean, that wasn't the case years ago. They really take it to heart.
Yeah. Right. No, it's great. So I'm hoping actually I have Pavan on in a couple weeks. It'll be a lot of fun to have him back on. Kind of catch up with him. So, yeah, a couple shout outs. Tyler came from Phoenix. What's going on, man? David said Raiders. So, David, I got to get you hooked up with Pavan. So, obviously, he's a huge Raiders fan. So, there was a point earlier about we talked about VR, we talked about virtual environments. I want to get your all's take. It's a little bit of a pivot, but like, you know, what about VR like content creation? So, content creation inside of these virtual environments, because I'm heavily involved in that. And I've already told it, you know, it's no secret. I've told a couple people this already, but you know, looking at building a podcast studio inside of a virtual environment.
Okay.
Where everything's customized. So I have a chair, like my avatar sits down in a chair with a microphone, with a desk, and the guest is there. Then there's a couple seats for people like, hey, we got 20 seats. You have to sign up to come check out the recording. Mm-hmm. And you can be with myself and the guest, you know what I'm saying? And creating this little environment for a podcast recording or a live stream. So like and I'm big into, big into crypto as well. Like the project called Decentraland, basically creating an entire 3D world, right? As it's tied to the Decentraland environment. So I'm really big into it. I'd love to get your all's take on it from kind of where you guys sit and how, you know, just some of your thoughts on the content creation side.
Good, Dante.
Oh, that's mine. All right. Not a problem. We're definitely recognizing, and this is where we've got to hook you up with Ed Brooks, our third partner. You are absolutely talking his language right now. Yeah. But you know, that is a part of what we're doing. You know, it's like, hey, you guys are Eastbat AI. What's the AI? Like, what's the, you know, how are you tapping into VR? What does that look like for you guys? And actually, you know, how do you start to composite and dissect our images? And I'll speak towards your podcast specifically as an example, but I'll just use this very general example first. Sure. How do you dissect the photo? How do you use AI to actually take a look at the different elements of a photo? I'll give you an example, and Ed loves to use this as an example. If we're getting a crowd shot at, you know, a Fortnite event, you know, Fortnite Arthur Ashe, we're getting a crowd shot, everybody's there. We can dissect who's wearing what team's merch. You know what I mean? You know, guy versus gal ratio, you know, color of hair, bald head, whatever it may be. You know, we can kind of dissect the AI of a photo. And that is invaluable to a brand. That's invaluable to, you know, to the league. When you start talking about how we're stepping into the VR space and how we're actually tackling that, there's a couple of different elements that we're using for that. We are using photo feeds to actually feed into a virtual space such that we can actually populate your environment with images, whether it's images. Let's just say that you've got a podcast that's running during a major event, for example. You likely wouldn't do that, but imagine if you've got something that's running, and you never know, there's events that take place around the world. We can do immediate feeds directly into your VR environment of video or photo. That's an example of how we're gonna be feeding folks in a live manner. And it's to coincide with social. Something happens, Giannis has an amazing dunk, it's on Bleacher Report in like 2 seconds. You know what I mean? If you're on, we wanna make sure that you have, like, hold on, you guys, I just missed this. Like, we just have, like, you know, we just broke a record for kills, you know, so on and so forth. Like, just to be able to capture that live in a, you know, breaking news almost environment of your podcast or in a VR environment, that's part of how we're feeding content to folks in the podcast space. So it's not only the capture of content, but how we're disseminating and how we're feeding content. If we know that you're going live and you're like, hey, I'm going to be talking about this event out of France, for example, or hey, I'm going to be talking about G2. Okay, fine. We know that they're in this tournament. We're going to be feeding you information live directly into your podcast. Those are things that we look for with alignments from a podcast perspective, from a VR perspective. But we say, hey, we've got this content. Why are we not feeding it to you as it happens? That's how news is broken. And if you have the ability to break news, why should you have to do another podcast to do it? You know what I mean? Why do you have to look at your phone to do it? Okay. I've got the images. They're right here. Like, they're in our VR environment. I've got this screen behind us that's actually virtual. You know, I've got the highlight right here. This is what it looks like.
Speed of access.
Yes, it's literal access. And that's the feed that we're looking for to actually make the virtual reality environment a live-based virtual reality environment. So we're stepping in from that perspective.
Yeah, that's really, I'm like wrapping my head around all that, because that's very interesting, because you can obviously pipe in content very easily on platforms, kind of in your virtual space.
Correct.
You create it a very active experience.
And, and imagine if it's already cut and chopped for you. You know what I mean? Your producers, your team, they don't have to cut and chop. They don't have to do anything. You're getting the highlight. Here's the highlight. What are you looking for? 10 seconds, 15 seconds. Here you are. Reel, roll, feed. I've got it. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, they're literally piped in. I've got the highlight. And that's an interesting opportunity that exists with us. And I'm kind of giving you some behind the scenes. You probably haven't seen that too much previously, but that's something that, you know, those are opportunities that we're tapped into. That's how we would look to work with you. Yes, I'm pitching that out to you.
Appreciate that. Yeah. You always like to get pitched on live. Yeah.
On live, exactly. Let's get to the business. No, but that's the thought, though. And in all honesty, that's the visualization of how that works, from your thought of a VR to our business model to the middle bridge feed and the end opportunity for the viewer, the user.
And you create, it's all about, you know, when you create a more positive or engaging experience, you win.
Yeah, you win.
Put it bluntly, like that's how it is. And the ease of access, being able to put things together quickly, because those maybe not in the content space, or those that may not, you know, live in that world, you know, pulling from here, pulling from there, like it is.
Yeah, it's a bear.
Yeah. Right. So having access to, you know, to automate things as much as possible, yeah. You know, there's that makes your job a lot easier. I'll just say that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. 100%. And that's the key to everything that we're looking to do is that automation that you reference. Mm-hmm. That's what makes life simple. I mean, listen, to 2020, you know, if it's not automated, what are we doing?
No, exactly. Yeah. So I do probably one of the last questions, but so Mario, vision for 2021, you know, what's the next 12 to 18 months look like for eSpat, and what should people expect?
Yeah, fingers crossed that, you know, as a globe, we all get healthy and safe, and the yep. doors do get open eventually, right? I mean, for us, there's no bigger rush than to actually the process of actually, and we have probably 150 plus events on our calendar this year to cover and syndicate, right? So we do miss that rush. So obviously, first and foremost, you know, hope everybody's doing well out there, and then eventually, you know, little by little, we can start getting back to offline events. And then with us, really, pretty much it's about collaboration. I think we add a lot of benefits to the ecosystem. Again, whether you're a publisher, team, TO, a union, or a team, I think right now it's heightened the need to look for new revenues or passive revenue. So if you're a CEO or a CRO, you will be tasking somebody in your organization about, hey, you know, talk to the eSpat guys and see what they're all about and see if there's any, you know, kind of synergies there. So for us, really, it's about collaboration, building the platform, not just with the eSpat wholly owned collection, but also third-party collections as well. So it's a huge footprint out there. We do have big plans for South America and Asia Pac. We do have big plans for mobile eSports as well. That was on our radar for this year. So when you say eSports, it really is eSports, whether it's traditional console, PC, or obviously the phenomenon of mobile esports in the Far East. So yeah, 2021, I mean, those conversations are happening now. So then when events do come back, we do have those partnerships in place.
Yeah, just on the mobile side, the numbers behind like Free Fire and Arena of Valor, it's mind-blowing. And a lot of it, maybe if you're in the States, you're not following it as much potentially, right? But when you actually look at the numbers, it's like really incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very very appealing to say the least. And Dante, why don't you touch on what's in your world as far as 2021?
Mm-hmm. I would say that I think that Mario did a great job of speaking with regards to our business as far as 2021. My personal hope is what I'm looking forward to next year is actually continuing to push the talent forward. You know, that's what we're here for, and I'll mention this and kind of leave you with this. Our model when we were created was to have something for the creatives. So we get excited when we take a look at the eSport Awards and they have the Photographer of the Year and they're littered with folks that we've worked with. Like, okay, we've worked with these guys. Like, these are, all right, these are our guys. Like, we love this. You know, mm-hmm. to be able to celebrate in, you know, for the remainder of 2020 and 2021, the creative, that's what I'm looking forward to. And that can just come in just so many different ways. But just actually being able to watch them get back to work, keep them, you know, very occupied, and just seeing what's next. I mean, I think that there's so much that's coming. Obviously, we wait and hope for live events, but everything else that comes along with that, even beyond just creating opportunities for those guys and gals, is really what we're built on. We were literally created for that purpose.
And one more thing too, before I forget, you asked, you know, during COVID, like, you know, what have you been doing? So, you know, we thought of a creative concept as well. We actually, this fall, will have our own podcast called Beyond the Frame. So it's an opportunity for us to kind of hand the mic over to a renowned photographer, videographer, and invite one more other person to the table and just kick back and have a really cool podcast and talk about, hey, you know, you were at the ESL event, right, in Poland when the lights went out and there's no fans. What was it like? You know, what was going through your mind? You know, your peers, right? There are so many stories that need to be told, Chris, beyond the frame that we've never heard about it. Like, how did you get that picture and nobody else did, right? What gets you nervous? You know, what gets your juices flowing? How did you get started? You know, your mom said you were nuts for trying to be a photographer instead of going to med school, right? Like, there are so many stories. You know, we kind of live in this HBO Hard Knocks world, you know, Mayweather 24/7. It really doesn't exist for photographers, right? We kind of want to put our name on it, and not from a B2B angle, but more from a kind of a human nature perspective, and say, hey, Chris, tell us more about yourself. How did you get started with a camera? Oh, you got a late start. You know, what's it like walking into, you know, the Overwatch League finals, right? Or the biggest events out there, worlds. And we're going to have that this fall. So it's going to be kind of like a train gang, and you know, the next person will host, and they'll kind of, you know, have that chemistry with one of their peers. And we're just going to be kind of sitting back and just watching it unfold. So that's coming this fall, Beyond the Frame, presented by Eastbet.
That's really cool. And then one other thing, just something I thought about, was, you know, following your passion. I mean, people in this industry, they love esports.
Yeah.
Just absolutely love it. They're so passionate about it. Right. And you don't have to be a pro player, mm-hmm. right? There's that stigma where, well, esports is pro player, or, you know, potentially working for an org or whatever, but you can be a content creator. 100%, you can be a content creator, and I, in my opinion, we've only taken a small slice of that when it comes to the experiences that can be had for content creators, and, you know, actually making a living doing it and loving what they're doing, right, and having a platform to showcase their talents and skill sets when it comes to putting this content together. So I'm excited to see, you know, over the next year, especially for those. And then the other thing I would say too, just, you know, be an early adopter and keep pushing as a content creator. Keep pushing. You know, when I say content, it's funny. When I say like content creation in VR, it like, and they're like, oh, well, it's not there yet and all that. Well, I like it when someone says not there yet. I'm like, good.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And so I guess if you have that innovative mind, it's like, it's great. The crowd ain't here yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Similar to what you all said, you all built an infrastructure and then it turned into you all. Essentially, yes. Right? We talked about that earlier. It's kind of the same thing as a creator. It really, actually, it's the same thing. So I'm just really excited about just the VR space in general when it comes to content creation. So, and I think the eSpec.ai, for example, is a step in that right direction. So,
well, thanks.
Absolutely.
We agree with you.
Yeah. Wait, well, real quick, how can people get in touch with you on socials?
Yeah, I'm pretty into social. So my Twitter handle is my first name _ Prosp, PROSP. Mm-hmm. As a company, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at eSpat Media. And we're also on LinkedIn and Facebook as well.
And for me, it's pretty simple. It's D as in Dante, S as in Simpson, A_Boss. That's me, DSA_Boss. You can find me out there.
Really cool. We're going to have those links in the description. If for whatever reason, if you jumped on a little bit late here, we'll have that on YouTube. The replay will have all the links for everybody in there and to eSpat as well. Appreciate you guys being here. We're going to clip this up, put a few highlight videos on YouTube and on LinkedIn. This will also be a podcast next week. So we'll release that out. So, you know, somebody comes in late or sees the replay on LinkedIn, it'll be a podcast on Apple and on Spotify as well. So David jumped in real quick, and this would be probably the last thing. So I can completely agree that creator economies all around the world are booming, and for gaming especially, we are seeing the future. Yeah, not even bringing up, obviously it's controversial right now, but TikTok and yep. what happened there this past year, how esports teams got on there, and individual creators, you know, especially like Q4, early Q1, and the explosion there. So all that's been really interesting. So David, appreciate that. Guys, thanks for being on here. I really do appreciate it. Again, we're going to repurpose all this, put it out there. If you have questions, feel free to reach out. We'll put all the socials on the YouTube description and in the show notes for the podcast. So I hope you guys have a good one, and thank you all for being here.